attending this camp. We can't see ourselves.
Hey,
hello,
everybody.
What's up? Can you guys see us?
It's Motivation Monday.
Oh, there we are. We can see us now.
It's Motivation Monday, and that's because it's Monday. And we have had a very interesting weekend. Alex, the great Alex Zhang, has informed us of the thousands of views that our videos are getting and the feedback that people are giving us, some of which is not all positive.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Because right now, this is about motivating you.
Oh, yeah,
is about Motivation Monday.
If you're really happy on the inside, when people throw shit at you, it's no big deal. You catch it and flush it down the toilet along with them.
Wait, I forget exactly what I texted Alex because he posted the video.
Yeah.
But when I think I'm going to... Oh, here it is. Okay, so I sent him a screenshot of what people were saying. It's really mean shit. And I was like, this is all caps, awesome, 4 exclamation points. And I'm like, I'm pissing people off. This is amazing.
Yeah, that you're supposed to be
They're reacting.
It's supposed to be a little bit controversial. And if you are, you're going to rub some people the wrong way.
Look, I don't want to rub people the wrong way.
Yes, you do.
But if they're that angry in life, they have other problems.
Oh.
What? All right, guys, this is Motivation Monday. Our podcast is Sell or Die. If this is the first time you're tuning in, thank you for being here. We get over 100,000 downloads a month because we're the top sales and personal development podcast on the planet. And who are you?
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote The Little Red Book of Selling. And
I'm Jen Gluck. Oh, sorry.
Sales Manifesto. No, step on me. No problem, Penny. And
No. Go say it again. That was so nice.
I wrote The Little Red Book of Selling, the best-selling sales book of all time.
Woo!
And The Sales Manifesto and a bunch of other books. And I'm joined by...
I am Jen Gluckow. I'm the author and founder of Sales in a New York Minute. So welcome. We are glad you're here. We have some familiar faces joining us on Facebook, like the great Alex Vang and Brian Kelm, who says tons of Jeffrey and Jennifer. Stephen Smith, happy Monday right back at you. Who else we got here? If you're here, say hey and make sure you share this out because today's going to be an amazing episode.
It's an uber motivational Monday.
Okay, no problem. So we have a loaded show today. We're going to find out the difference and we're going to talk about the difference between persistence and nuisance.
Yes, are you a pain in the ass or are you helpful? Basically what it boils down
to. Yeah, we're going to tell you how to avoid being a pain in the
I'm
ass.
I'm just checking in to see if you have
not
my
good.
Money.
Not good. Plus, we're going to talk about the 4 mistakes that companies make when they're hiring sales leaders, and we're going to bring you our leads, our thing that's motivating us.
Yeah.
But before we get to our topic, we have a little thing that is, we usually do these sales memes now, but today we're going to spare you the sales memes. We're not bringing those to you today.
Why?
Because we don't want to.
Oh.
Yeah.
So
unless you want to do like charades and act down a meme.
If you see a funny sales meme, please send it to us.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Now let's get to the main topic.
Let's do it.
Cool. Everybody knows that in order to make your quota, you have to be persistent. But nobody wants to be that stereotypical salesperson that's overly pushy and gets sent to voicemail and then comes back with, oh, I called the guy 5 times and I got crickets. Persistence, valid business reasons to connect versus nuisance, what's up phone call followed up by email hell, will not win. We're going to talk about the difference between the two of them. And
so let's define a persistent salesperson, because I think that's a really good baseline for us to start at so that we're all on the same page here. Persistent would be
somebody who's made an appointment to recontact somebody so that when they contact you, they already know you're going to do it.
Mm. Okay, but what if they fall off? So like you say, okay, when's the best time to reconnect? They say next Friday, same time. You say, okay, cool, I've scheduled it in. I send them the invite. And now it's next Friday and I call them, Mr. Customer.
You haven't sent a reminder.
Okay, I've reminded you, you confirmed, and now it's our time to connect. And I say, okay, Mr. Ring, Mr. Customer, no answer.
Oh my gosh, you mean he had something more important to do than talk to your sorry
Yeah,
ass?
He went out playing golf instead
right.
of talking to me about my sale.
Okay, so he doesn't perceive enough value to reconnect. That's the deal. He considers this a sale and not something that's going to build a relationship or make him more profit or her more profit or any of the other elements that they want in their business, whether it's productivity or morale or whatever. That person didn't perceive enough value in order to be able to be there for that scheduled appointment.
So
it's not a problem. It's a symptom.
Yeah, but sometimes the customer does perceive a lot of value, but they just find something that's more important. Like they'd rather be out playing golf, or they'd rather be out taking their kids somewhere, or something's come up and you just weren't like the top of their list of importance.
No, you didn't say, "Mr. Jones, here's my cell. If something comes up, just text me."
Oh.
I mean, there's ways of doing this besides blaming other people. The guy didn't show. The guy didn't show because what you did sucked. I mean, just think about it from that perspective.
So if you're just joining us, we're talking about being persistent in your follow-up versus being a nuisance or like a pain in the ass.
Right.
We have some great friends here. We have Hermilio. We have Greg Hain. Hello and happy Monday back to you. Jenny, happy Monday. Wes, Dynamite Wes, what's up? And then listen to this really nice note that Tom wrote. Tom says, "What motivates me is that after, you know, I'd really like to know what motivates all of you. So if you could follow Tom's protocol, like what motivates you?" Okay, this is Motivation Monday. Tell us in the comments what motivates you. But here's what he says. "What motivates me is that after 20 plus years of reading all of Jeffrey's books and attending his seminars, I can take my beautiful wife to a nice dinner, go see the first U.S. show of Hugh Jackman, and drive home in my Lexus to my 3,000 square foot home. I'm always motivated to make the next sale the Jeffrey Gittimer way. Keep up the good work." No, Tom, you keep up the good work. That is freaking amazing and motivating. And I bet you are persistent, yet not. What would you say?
Look for that 5,000 square footer, Tom. I think that's on the horizon. Get your kids out of the house and have plenty of time to work, play, put a swimming pool in there, have a real good time. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Go for it.
So let's talk about that, like, annoying salesperson, because you get these a lot. I get them a lot. Like, just checking in, just writing to follow up.
Yeah, or
I thought I would check back and see what's next.
Yeah, they're pathetic, and and you don't even have to say them with a whine. You already know.
So you don't be doing that.
You're not calling me to see if you have any questions. You're calling me to see where the money is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have made an appointment, if you've done the right thing when the first meeting ended, then there's no problem with making that follow-up. You have their cell phone. You can text them. And eventually, if they like you, if they perceive value with you, they'll text you back. And if they don't get that, if you don't get it, that's a report card that you didn't provide enough perceivable value for them to move forward, period.
Totally, totally. So, you know, let's talk about some of the things that you and I do to follow up so that people can maybe take a note so that you're not just writing to follow up.
I don't
talk
to anybody without a cell phone number.
Mm-hmm.
I give them mine. And that allows them to give me theirs. And from that point on, I'm a texter, and people can't avoid a text.
No, it's very
hard. They can avoid a phone call. They can avoid a fax, whatever they are. They can avoid an email, but they can't avoid a text. It's right in front of you. No one can say, "Oh, I didn't see that." Like, they saw it. They just chose to ignore it. And then you follow up with a couple of texts, and eventually they text you back.
Yeah, but don't follow up about things that are about you, because they don't give a shit about your sale, okay? Follow up with things that are about them and ways in which you can help them. So, like, you see an article about what their competitors are doing, or you see something that's in their industry that's related that could help them win more, or
right,
save time, or profit more.
Don't know if you saw this, but...
Right. Wanted to share this with you, saw this and thought of you. What do you think? And open up the conversation and engage with them in a way that's meaningful.
And don't talk about anything having to do with politics.
No.
Don't talk about anything having to do with religion. Don't talk about anything having to do with guns or violence. Unless you know the other person intimately and it's something that you share a a similar feeling.
Mm-hmm.
If you share the similar feeling, you're going to win. If you don't, you're going to lose. And I know who I can share my feelings with. So I'll take those chances.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't know I can share the feeling, I don't say a thing.
Yeah, you don't go for it, for sure.
I want to make sure that they know that I'm there to help them win.
Yeah.
So, and once they feel that, they're more likely to buy from me.
So diehards, if you have questions about this and you're on the Facebook Live right now, make sure you're popping them in the comments so we can answer them. You know, one of the most commonly questions I get asked is, how do I know when it's time to stop following up? Or how do I know, you know, when it's too much? Like, when to stop?
Well, let's take part of that. Let's take the first part. Let's define what a persistent salesperson is. A persistent salesperson is one who follows up in accordance with their pre-scheduled, pre-agreed upon points of contact. If you do that, you're going to be persistent and consistent. Well, the guy followed up. No one's going to be angry with you if they've already made an agreement to take your call or to take your message. That's number one.
My rule is never leave the meeting without the next meeting
pre-planned,
scheduled and on their calendar.
How long do you follow up? You follow up until you feel in your heart that you can no longer help them. And I've espoused this for years. You tell the customer, say, listen, I'm the best solution for you. I'm the best answer for you. I'm the best product for you. I'm the best service for you. And I believe that in my heart, and I'm going to follow up with you consistently and maybe even persistently until you tell me, leave me alone. And then I'm going to follow up for another 4 weeks, and then that's it.
But please don't send one of those corny emails that's like, oh, my God, were you swallowed by a frog? Or like...
Yeah, your email must not be working.
I was looking under a rock, and I couldn't find you. No, those are no good. Never send those. Just send something that's genuine and authentic and from your heart and explain why you believe you can help them.
Or funny.
Yeah.
You know, send something Dilbert or send something Beavis and Butthead. Send a
Wait,
little
people
video.
Still use Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah.
I do.
I think. I don't know.
It doesn't matter. They're funny.
I think it depends on who you're talking to.
Funny is timeless.
Is it?
I think.
It can be. It totally can be.
They laughed at the Wright brothers. I mean, the Marx brothers.
What?
And they're still funny.
Yeah.
Anyway. So don't give up. That's the whole key. Just don't take the first no. Don't take the first rejection. Don't take the first silence to a response. Have the guts to hang in there if you believe your product or service is best, period. Mr. Jones, I'm best. I'm hanging in there.
So someone responded to me today. Someone was supposed to reach back out to me on Friday to let me know if they wanted to move forward with us. And I didn't hear from them. So, and we had a scheduled time and all that. So I reached out to them today and they actually responded immediately to let me know that they wanted to move forward with one part of it, but not the other part. And they didn't exactly know when the part they wanted to move forward with, when that would be, but it would be at some point. And my immediate response was to, like, I saw she was trying to say no to the speaking gig part.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't really let her say no. I said, look, like, we want to establish a long-term relationship with you.
Right.
We want to kick it off with this speech. Let's talk about that. What's holding you back? And she responded with information that I'm using to help her get to a yes. So, you know, it's not just about following up to get the answer. Once you get an answer, if that answer is not one you deem one to move forward, it's all about how you take it.
And don't be a sales douchebag by saying, I've already given you all the information. Maybe you should review it again. No. Ask a question about the brilliance of Jen's question is what's holding you back. You can also ask what's missing.
Mm-hmm.
You can also ask where's the potential risk. You should also ask if anyone else is pushing you back. And all those elements, those subtle elements that you may not know about because you're not at their business all the time.
Right.
And some people have a cash problem. Some people have a budget problem. Some people have a internal political problem. Find out what they are. Because mm-hmm. if you can overcome them, you can win the deal.
Absolutely. And that's the whole point of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, so we have Jennifer Darling on here. I love it. One of our 2020 members. Hey, yo. We also have Glenn AJ who says...
Jennifer Darling went to Philly.
Yeah, she did.
And posted her Facebook picture from Tommy DeNick.
I freaking love it. It looks so good. And she liked the cheese better. She got half and half.
Oh, bullshit.
Just saying.
Okay.
So Glenn says funny is timeless. He agrees with you. Funny is timeless.
Funny is totally timeless. And you can always be funny. I have a piece of art up in my office that says, you can pretend to be serious, but you can't pretend to be witty. And... And so you have to put yourself in a position where you're studying humor or you're studying what makes people laugh. So you read about the funny people of our lifetime. And whether it's off-center, like maybe Woody Allen or Oscar Wilde, or it's on-center, like Jerry Seinfeld, then try to put yourself in a position where you are imbibing humor instead of beer.
All right. So coming up, we have an amazing segment. It's called Hit the List. We're going to bring you an amazing list today that you're going to love.
But first,
we have a short break. No. Hey, Steve. What?
Yeah, but what he doesn't know is I snuck in here without paying a dime, so.
It's not like a normal seminar.
You can't beat the value for what you're gonna get out of this.
The difference that we've found, right, is the agenda's authentic.
Well, I've watched enough videos and read enough of his books to know that what you see is what you get.
The best word I can use is authentic.
So I kind of thought of him as like the Howard Stern of public speaking.
Blunt, straightforward.
Enthusiastic.
Very personable, can approach him.
It gets me recharged.
Well, I can learn from what he gave me today and apply it tomorrow.
I mean, he lived up to everything that I had hoped.
It's magnificent, the things that he just ties together and how he brings it together.
What he does is on point, man. It's excellent.
He kept me engaged the entire time. I wasn't scrolling on social media and doing other things. I was in the moment. It will hit you in a personal way, guaranteed, at some point or another.
It's phenomenal. It's very motivating and inspiring, and it's been insanely effective. It makes us very grateful.
A lot different when you're actually in the room with them. You know, you pick a lot more things up.
It is a completely different experience.
It's fun. It's engaging, right? It makes 3.5 hours go by in about 2 seconds, and there's so much to act on.
Diehards, time to hit the list.
That's right. But, you know, before we hit the list, Jeffrey, I was watching how those people loved you at your seminar.
Yeah.
They always do.
Yeah.
And it made me think about the webinar you have coming up this week.
What's that, Jen?
Aren't you talking to, like, young professionals this week?
I'm trying my best to create an attraction to next level for young professionals, not young hustlers, who are trying to get to the next degree of sales success and need a boost. I don't care where you are at your sales level. I'm going to give you information this week that you can take out into the street, that you can document, and you can turn it into money.
That's right. Hey, Alex, can you pop that link in there for that webinar?
Yeah.
So guys, if you know a young hustler, I mean a young professional, if you know a young sales professional that is like on the verge of something major and you see such sales potential in them, refer them to this webinar. It's only $29 and it's gonna be on fire. I have seen a sneak peek of Jeffrey's slides.
And even if you're old, I think you can benefit from this, but I don't wanna get you out of your millennial.
Well, if they're old, they already think they know everything.
Oh, that's true.
So if you already think you know everything, share it with someone who thinks they who doesn't think they know everything and has something to learn.
Okay, cool.
All right?
Yeah.
So let's hit the list. Today's list comes from Harvard Business Review by Andrus A. Zoltners. It's called The Four Mistakes Companies Make When Hiring Sales Leaders.
And we're going to try to harmonize with it like we didn't last week.
Sometimes we shit on the list instead of hit the list.
Yeah, sometimes it's a shit list.
So we'll try to, we'll give you our opinions.
Yeah.
Okay. So Nada, what do we've got?
Okay, our first one from Mr. Zoltners is mistake number one, emphasizing height over slope when profiling and selecting candidates.
I don't quite understand that, but I'm assuming that he means like you've gone straight up rather than up, down, up, down, up, down.
Or basically hiring from scale is the way I got it understood.
Oh. Well, Zoltner is probably a college graduate. I'm pretty stupid.
He's saying this is a mistake people make, so they're emphasizing how the height, like how tall you are?
No,
I'm assuming the scale of how, of the business. They're like overscaling their abilities or.
Oh.
Yeah, they're trying to say they're too damn good.
Well, I think that hiring managers do make that mistake when hiring sales leaders, that they don't look enough at like the actual, what it took to get them there. And they look too much at just the, you know, what they're saying. Maybe. Don't know.
First thing, I mean, this is number one.
Yeah.
No, number one is finding out what the qualifications of the salesperson are by asking them a bunch of questions that will determine their heart.
That's a mistake they make? These are mistakes people make when hiring sales managers.
No, he said emphasizing height over slope. I don't know what the fuck either one of them is.
I don't know either.
I'm
okay.
A pretty smart
so
guy.
Let's move on to mistake number two.
Let's go to number two.
Let's move on. Mistake number two, underemphasizing cultural fit when profiling and selecting candidates.
Totally agree.
Yes, I agree with that one. And not just because we're trying to be nicer today.
No.
But I literally do agree because culture is so important. And if you get a rock star sales manager and they totally don't fit within the culture or the company, then it doesn't matter. Like, they're going to be in the wrong place at the wrong time all the time. They need to fit in or go someplace else.
I agree, Jen. We don't hire anybody here at ByGittimer unless they've talked to everybody in the company.
That's right. They meet with the other people, especially the people they're going to be working with directly, and as many people as they can before they come on board. And we find out if people are going to like you before we hire you, if people are going to want to work with you, if people are going to respect you, if people are going to find your work ethic to be of like to theirs. There are so many things, and culture is so important.
I don't believe in testing per se, unless it's for skill. You know, somebody who's going to be an editor or a salesperson, you might give them a skill test. But for aptitude, that's not what I need in a person. I want a human being.
Oh, yeah. All right. What's mistake number three, Mr. Nada?
All right. Mistake number three, having insufficient rigor in interviews when selecting and attracting candidates.
Yeah.
What's a rigor?
Basically, you're not scrutinizing them enough. You're not going through the proper scrutiny process when you're interviewing candidates.
So here's the deal. Salespeople and most sales managers are really good at selling. Therefore, they're good at selling themselves and can easily build rapport and make connections on that interview. And so if you're doing that, the person on the other end may not realize you're selling them and may not be as rigorous of an interviewer as they should be. So the best way to counteract that is to go to the interview with pre-planned questions that you want to get. And so this way, no matter what, even if the person is a really good interviewer, you're asking them the same questions as you're asking all 5, 10, whatever other candidates, so that you're really getting the information that you want to walk away with.
Keep in mind, by the way, this guy Zoltner is marketing professor emeritus at Kellogg School of Business.
Oh, wow.
Which is a
cool.
Pretty big one.
Yeah, that's a good school.
Yeah. But my question is, how many people has he hired?
I don't know.
That's my question.
I don't know.
I think I'd rather talk to the person who's hiring at Amazon or the person who's hiring at Google.
I thought we said we were going to be nicer today.
So I had to hire, actually, a lot of people. I had to hire a 10-person sales team at my former job, and I flew all over the country interviewing people. But before I even set up days of interviews, I went through thousands. I'm not like exaggerating here. I went through thousands of resumes. And you know the number one reason why I would reject someone? Just like toss out their resume?
Tell me, Jen.
Because they had an error on it. Like they spelled there, like there, the wrong there. Or they just had something stupid that I'm like, if you can't pay attention to detail on your resume, I don't want to talk to you. So if you're looking for a job, don't just look at your resume. Have someone else look at it too.
Just let me go back because I don't want to throw Dr. Zoltner or Mr. Zoltner under the bus. But
yeah,
it pays to have, I mean, I'd rather talk to an HR director at Microsoft, or at least knowing he had some experience of working with that person for a year while he sat there and watched the interviews.
Well, he may have hired. We don't know. So Nada, what's mistake number four?
Mistake number four would be not paying enough attention to integrating new sales leaders.
Okay, so it sounds like, okay, they've hired them, and now they don't pay enough attention integrating them. You know, I'm going to disagree with that one. I'm going to go,
I wonder why.
Okay, because I think it's the sales leader's responsibility to integrate themselves, okay? Yeah. Like, yes, the company can introduce you and help you and show you where the bathroom is and tell you who's on your team or what positions you have open to hire in, but, like, I'm not a child. Like, let me go lead now. Let me go integrate myself. Let me go figure it out.
Right.
And so I'm going to give that one a...
These lists are pretty interesting. My friend, Richard Brody, who ran the HR department at Microsoft for years, said, we hired people with three attributes: smart, self-starting, past history of success. And it doesn't say any of that on this.
He was one of the first, like, what, five employees there?
77.
Oh. Yeah.
But here's the deal. Smart, self-starting, past history of success. I would add to that happy. Smart, happy, self-starting, past history of success. Those are the qualifications that you want to look at and mm-hmm. look for. And I don't want to call this person's references in sales. I want to call five customers and find out what they thought about this guy. Why did they buy from this guy? Was he consistent? Did he follow through? So, all the elements that make it important.
Okay, if you're hiring, that brings up a really good point, Jeffrey. If you're looking to be hired for a sales position, why not put together a testimonial reel for yourself?
From your customers.
Okay, go get five customers to say how freaking amazing you are. Go online to like Upwork or Fiverr or whatever. Find a video editor who can do it for cheap, who can mash the videos together and cut out the parts that you don't want because people tend to talk for too long, and make this great testimonial video. And if you're not looking to get hired, but you just want more customers, and your company has testimonial videos, that's great. But why not make a testimonial for yourself as well? Like, here's what my customers say of why they like working with me. Because we all know they're buying you. They're not buying what you're selling.
And that's your resume.
That's right. They're buying you first. So why don't you make a video about what your customers say it's like to work with you? Oh, okay. Christy says, you two help motivate me. Thank you, Christy. Christy, where are you watching us from? I want to know.
Yeah.
All right. What else we got, Nada? Oh, it's time. It's time for a very important message. But before we get you that message, I want to let you know what's coming up. Coming up, Jeffrey and I are going to be talking about the leads, okay? This is when we tell you what's motivated us this week, what's inspired us, and hopefully it'll help inspire you as well. So we have something really exciting to share. But first, watch this.
If you're in sales, if you're new to sales, maybe you're just looking to make more sales, or if you're thinking about getting into sales as a career, this is an opportunity for you. You don't like it? This is not for you? Keep scrolling. I'm sure there's a funny cat video coming up, or a video of some kid hitting his dad in the nuts with a baseball bat. Oh, forgot. My name's Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm the author of the best-selling sales book of all time, The Little Red Book of Selling. And I've delivered more than 2,500 customized seminars to audiences all over the world on one topic: how to make more sales. I'm sure you'll agree that if you got your way in sales more often, the quality of your life would skyrocket. you want to be successful, if you want to be happy, if you want to earn what you're worth, if you want to get your way in life, sales success is the best answer. If you like what you heard so far, then on June the 26th, attend my live sales webinar. Last month, my sales webinar drew more than 3,000 people, and we maxed out our account. But here's a warning. Don't register if you don't want to get better at your sales job. Don't register if you're happy with your tiny commission checks. And don't register if you already think you're successful. Save some room for the ambitious salespeople who want to step up their game and learn more selling skills. Do register if you want to successfully make more sales now. Cost? This will amaze you. It's $29. I'm going to be teaching the sales strategies that Fortune 500 companies pay me five figures to teach their sales teams. So I'll see you live on June 26th if you want to learn more to earn more. Not just how to sell, how to become successful. Do what the 40-year-old you will thank you for. Invest in your future sales skills today. Invest in your career. Invest in your future. Invest in yourself. Hope to see you. Damn.
I love that.
Damn, that was good. I know.
That webinar is going to be amazing. So who are you guys going to tell about it? I want to know.
So I'm going to share something with you. This is a very important part of the process.
Yeah.
We have people behind the scenes that you can't see.
Yeah.
That's a script that I read.
Yeah.
Well, I wrote.
Yeah.
And I read twice. And they did all the edits from those two reads.
Way to go, Steve. Way to go, Adam. I love it.
They were unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it's inspiring when you look at your own stuff and go, damn, damn.
Well,
so diehards, get your own video testimonial reel going. Talk to people who love you and let them talk about who you are and how you are. So that when you do go for a job or you do go for a customer that you want to buy from you, you have these testimonials about sales, about your customers that say, buy from Bob, he's fucking great. And the customer can say anything.
And don't say, oh yeah, I'll do that one day. No, do that today. Yeah,
exactly.
This is Motivation Monday.
Well,
don't just listen.
I don't know if legal will let me do that. You know what? Tell legal to tell you what they can do, not what they can't do, and you'll end up with a much better outcome.
Yeah, so this is Motivation Monday. Don't just listen to what we're saying. When we're done, go take action.
Right.
Okay, that's how you're gonna get to the next level. You're listening because you want to get there. Now take what we're giving you. We're giving you gold for free and use it and get to the next level.
So what do we got, Jenny?
We've got the leads. I love this segment. Oh.
All right, I've strapped on my gun.
All right, it's the lead
I'm ready to
time.
Draw.
I love that. So this is all about something that we've seen this week or something that we've done this week or heard or whatever that's inspired us.
Yeah.
Okay, and will help and has helped us like get that little extra mojo. And so we want to share it with you and pass it on to you. Jeffrey, do you want to share yours?
Yes, I do, Jen.
Okay.
I'm finishing my newest book called Get Shit Done, and it's all about productivity and procrastination. I'd like to talk about the positive side about productivity in one little section in the book, which talks about what do you do when you first wake up in the morning? Most people, and I don't mean this as a pun, but piss away their morning. So after you have peed and after you've brushed your hair, if you have any hair, and maybe even had a cup of coffee, you can do it if you want to, or had some little bite to eat, you sit down in your own private space and you do five things. You write something, you read something, you prepare something, and that causes you to think and create. If you do those five things in the morning, you have set your own table, your own platform to get something done for yourself. Get Shit Done is not just a title. It is a challenge for you. What are you doing when you wake up that sets the tone for your day to be productive to be profitable and to be something that in the at the end of that day you're proud of. Jen?
So, Jeffrey, do you have a way to start your writing, or do you just like write what's on your mind, or do you use writing prompts? For someone who says, like, I don't even know where to get started, or I don't know what to write about, what would you tell them?
I would first tell them to write about a customer that they're thinking about trying to make a sale to and write the reasons that that customer might buy from them. And that will start the process rolling. But it starts with your own creativity. Maybe you should read before you write. And maybe you should read an attitude book or read an old sales book. And that will get you thinking about some of the things that have frustrated you. So, for example, you can write about how you get through to a gatekeeper. You can write about how you get to a decision maker. You can write about how you actually do close a sale. Those are the things that will help clarify your own thinking so that as you move forward, you do it with a lot more self-confidence. You're concentrating on yourself so that you can build your self-confidence when you speak with others.
So Michael Silverman, the great, the one, the only Michael Silverman is here. Hey.
Past Mayor Mike.
Okay, former. Michael Silverman will not tell you this because he'll provide so much value that you'll just be dying to know what he does.
Right.
But he is a third generation owner of an insurance firm in New York City, and he's freaking amazing. So if you need any insurance, you should be calling him because he does ours. He's great.
Yeah.
And he's like a good friend. We love
him. Okay? And he went to summer camp.
Yeah.
Same one with me.
Yeah, just at different
20
times.
20 years later.
Right. Brian wants to know when your new book will be released.
It will probably be out before the end of the year. I'm chomping at it right now. And the folks over at Wiley are making all kinds of... I don't know. They're trying to get it out.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, so I have two things to bring to you today. The first is I published this video on Facebook, and it's all about charging your worth is worthless and that you actually need to charge based on the value that you give to your customers. And people tell you to charge your worth, and we'll link to it so you can watch the video. And I think it has how many views, Alex? Thousands, like 30,000 or something?
450.
I don't know. It has a shit ton of views. And what has inspired me about it, and this is going to be ironic, but what has inspired me about it is that some people are posting really nice stuff. And then some people are posting like really jerky comments. Yeah. Like they're telling me to fuck off. Okay. Like,
and deservedly so, Jen.
And so,
I mean, let's face it.
And so like, I've never had a video with haters. So this is so exciting for me. And most people would go like shrivel up in a hole and be like, oh my God, what did I do wrong? This is horrible. And meanwhile, I'm sending screenshots to everyone on the team being like, look at this one. This one's awesome. He told me to fuck off. And
here's
because
the deal.
I'm a happy person and I'm a confident person. And if they don't agree with me, that's okay.
People don't understand if you're telling someone where to go and you live in Pittsburgh or you live in St. Louis or you live in Atlanta. Fuck you is a greeting in New York City. We don't take it as any kind of like pushback.
That's right. That's right. And some people might like be really upset about those kinds of comments. And I'm just excited that it's getting so much engagement. So the thing that's inspiring for me there is I've worked really hard over the past couple of years to change my attitude and change my thoughts. And I think that looking back, like a couple of years ago, I may have gotten upset about it and I may have really been, you know, sad, or it may have affected my attitude. And now what I do instead is like, I'm finding the good. And so if someone says something mean to you this week, or someone's harsh in some way, or someone pisses you off, just find the good and be, you know what I say to these people? I'm like, okay, thank you and have a nice day. I leave off the like, go F yourself part, but it's implied. Or I'll say, okay, thanks. You're entitled to your wrong opinion. Yeah. But I shrug it right off. I don't let it bother me. And that's what you need to do too, because that's how you're going to get the sale. When you shrug it off and you're like, doesn't bother me, you win.
Obviously, Mr. Jones, you're angry about something. I'm happy that I was able to draw that anger out, and perhaps you can go back to your day and be more successful by not being so angry at things or people.
I can't believe how pissed off some people are. I'm like posting an educational video and they're getting like... Anyway, okay, so here's my second leads thing I'm going to bring you to this week.
Go.
I saw this and I was like, wow, this is so true. Okay. What time do you wake up? I want you to think about this and consider that the average person wakes up around 7 a.m.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nah.
Oh, yeah. It's true. True story. So
if
now
I wake up at 7 o'clock, I think I overslept.
I know, me too. I think, you know, it's funny. Michael Silverman's on here. I think he gets up at like 3 o'clock in the morning or something.
Something crazy, yeah.
But anyway, so the average person gets up at 7. Imagine if you were to get up at 5 a.m. instead. Start getting up at 5. That's 2 extra hours a day. That's 14 extra hours a week. That's 728 extra hours a year, which translates to 30 extra days a year. That means if you wake up 2 hours earlier than the average person, so you start waking up at 5 a.m., you're going to gain an entire month over your competition.
What Jen is not saying is it's 30 full 24-hour days. So you've gained effectively 2 hours a day on your competitor.
Holy, why wouldn't you do this? Come on, guys. This is like,
even if you're only working a five-day week, you've gained 15 hours on your competition, and that's enough to beat them.
That's right. So I hope this has inspired you to set back that alarm clock, wake up a little bit earlier, and have a kick-ass week. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and stay tuned to our show this week. Because we have Jay Baer, who I totally fucking love.
Oh, we have such an amazing lineup this week.
And my webinar.
That's right.
And all kinds of other stuff.
Adam Chin, Jay Baer, Mike Dillard. This week is freaking amazing. So make sure you're subscribed to the Sell or Die podcast. Just go to
anywhere.
Wherever iTunes. You get your podcasts and search for Sell or Die. Because honestly, like this week is killer.
So now you can be Jen Gluckow.
All right. Peace out.
Webinar, get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
The biggest mistake most people make is thinking they have to charge what they're worth. You've probably heard that before, right? But that may be the worst advice you'll ever get. I get it. Most entrepreneurs struggle with what to charge and how much to charge. And when so-called experts are telling you, charge what you're worth, it's easy to fall into that trap. But that advice is dead wrong. If you charge only according to your world or what you think you're worth or what the market will bear, then you'd see everyone driving Chevys and drinking Budweiser. But look around. You see people driving Mercedes and Teslas and drinking craft beer. In fact, if you're only charging what you think you're worth, then you're probably letting price hold you back from getting the real profits you deserve. And maybe you're even questioning whether or not you even deserve that price at all. I mean, aren't you worth everything? Charge in terms of how much they win or what their value and their outcome is. Think about it. There's a difference between 60-cent gas station coffee and a $5 cup of coffee at Starbucks. The difference is your perception, your desire, and your perceived value. The same goes for your customers. Now's the time to stop melting pennies into profit and instead build a life filled with more money, more confidence, and more financial freedom to create the life of your dreams. So let me ask you, do you really want to keep charging what you're worth and holding yourself back from creating the profits that you deserve? Or do you want to become the entrepreneur who starts taking massive, confident action with an offer that's based on value, outcome, and profit?